So last night, Boehner and Obama were appealing to the American people. Well, we got American people.
This is Barry Wynn calling from Brighton, Michigan. It doesn't really matter whether this is a kabuki drama that's being played out or whether this is a real disjointed, divided house. The issue is that they're being held hostage by a group of Tea Party hecklers.
Well, in theory, the response of the American people might move the needle there in Washington, D.C. Be a part of it. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE with your response to the divided government and the unresolved debt ceiling debate. Right now, let's check in on top news stories at 31 minutes after the hour. Prosecutors in Norway say they are considering charging Anders Breivik with crimes against humanity. Breivik has confessed to last week's bombing and shooting spree that killed 76 people. He currently faces a maximum 21-year prison sentence, but could receive a 30-year sentence if convicted of crimes against humanity. The U.S. Postal Service is considering shutting down some 3,600 local offices, mostly in rural areas. Last year, the Postal Service lost $8 billion. A new congressional report out today details the failed ATF, that's the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Agency gun-running program known as Operation Fast and Furious. At one point, the report says several guns sold under the watch of the program took just 24 hours to travel from a gun store in Phoenix to a crime scene in Mexico. And the Ford Motor Company has posted earnings of $2.5 billion last quarter, down 7% from the same quarter last year. Checking the markets now, Asian markets are up. European indices are down. Futures are up. The Dow gets underway at 12,592. The S&P opens at 1,337. The Nasdaq opens at 2,842. Oil is trading up at about $99 a barrel this morning, and sort of a plateau for gold prices. You're listening to The Takeaway, where you can always reach us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE. So we all were outraged and horrified by what happened in Norway on Friday. But the question is, could such a thing happen in the United States? Well, the simple answer to that question is no, because security arrangements in Norway were significantly lax compared to the rest of Europe and areas in the United States that might be analogous to the center of Oslo, Norway. But not so fast, says Daryl Johnson. He's a primary author of the Department of Homeland Security's report, Right-Wing Extremism. And he joins us now. Daryl, good morning.
Good morning.
The situation in Norway reminded you of some phenomena which you've observed in the United States. Can you explain how you came to that notion and what your reactions were as you watched things unfold last Friday?
Sure. Well, I was basically surprised and shocked as things unfolded. I was just horrified at the fact that someone so effortlessly could go about mass shooting, which resulted in the deaths of approximately 80 youth, and detonate a car bomb in the city center of Oslo. Some of the things that I saw that were reminiscent of things that we're seeing here in America amongst this extremist dialogue here are some common themes that were brought out in the manifesto of the suspect, these themes being multiculturalism, anti-Islam, or anti-Muslim. There were also some themes about fears of communist, Marxist-type influences in the government. Some of the other things that really jumped out at me is how simple this attack appeared to have occurred. I mean, basically, this individual had three firearms and a ready supply of ammunition and had some ammonium nitrate explosives, which is fairly easy to acquire here in the States. And so I guess one of my main points that I wanted to make during this show was that the extremists here in this country are ever bit as armed as this individual was, and perhaps even more so. So they have even more capability in this country than they do over in Europe. So it's just, I'm afraid that something is like this attack could be replicated in this country at some point.
Talking with Daryl Johnson, who's the primary author of the Department of Homeland Security's report, Right-Wing Extremism. That report that you helped to write produced some controversy when it was released, some months back. And I guess I'm wondering if the war on terror, our focus on Al-Qaeda, et cetera, masks the reality of the nature of extremism in the United States in some sense.
Well, we have a variety of threats here in this country, and not all of them emanate from Muslim extremism. We have various movements that have long established histories of violence. These movements include the white supremacist movement, the militia extremists. We have sovereign citizens in the country that have been responsible for the deaths of police officers recently. We also have environmental extremists, animal rights extremists, anti-abortion extremists. I mean, the list goes on and on.
And what would you do as you're sort of, you know, responding to what happened in Norway as a way of seeing whether there are sympathies in the United States? If you were an investigator or if you were, you know, working officially with the Department of Homeland Security, would you look at blog traffic in the United States, at how extremist groups focused on what happened in Norway, look for congratulations? Would you expect to see a sense of explicit sympathy or explicit distancing among the groups in the United States?
You'd probably have both. We would definitely be monitoring the extremist chatter. There'll be those within the extremist community that, of course, will distance themselves from this attack because they don't want to draw additional government scrutiny towards their cause. They may do this, either truthfully or may just do it to deceive. And then, of course, you have others who are more radical and hardcore about their causes who may applaud such attacks. We've seen that happen with some of the other attacks we've had here in the United States, such as the murder of George Tiller, the abortion provider out
right.
in Wichita, Kansas, as well as the Holocaust Museum shooting. We've actually had people on these sites applauding these types of attacks and calling for other types of attacks.
And it's not illegal to do that?
Not in this country.
We're talking with Daryl Johnson, who's the primary author of the Department of Homeland Security's report, Right-Wing Extremism. Respond, if you could, to a sense within Norway that, in fact, the real driver of the brutality on Friday was not so much the demeanor of the shooter himself, but the lax security situation in Oslo, and that really distinguishes the situation in Norway from the situation in the United States. Would you agree?
I agree to a point. I mean, we've made remarkable progress in educating the public to be vigilant here in the United States to suspicious activity. Nonetheless, this individual was what we would call in the counterterrorism community a lone wolf. And what's particularly disturbing about this lone wolf tactic is that these individuals generally do not affiliate with organized groups and, you know, other types of activities where law enforcement may have infiltrated. And so these people lurk on the internet, they self-train, they don't alert anyone to their plans and preparations, and so they can strike without warning.
And
that's the danger with this type of tactic that was used in Norway.
I mean, a generation ago it was easier when you had to put on a hood to go to the meeting of the Ku Klux Klan. Now you can do that just from the convenience of your own computer.
And that's been the biggest, I think, force multiplier that I've observed over the 20 years that I've been monitoring this subject.
All right. So before we go,
the advent of the internet and the ease in which people can spread their propaganda, recruit people, network with like-minded individuals, which emboldens a lot of the people in these extremist causes.
So finally, before we go, coming back to the issue of Muslim extremism versus non-Muslim extremism, would you say that it's easier to actually get access to the American Islamic community in the United States versus the right-wing groups that are typically white ethnic?
Well, it's not that much easier, but we do see a lot of the anti-Muslim sentiment here in the United States. And in fact, just in the past 3 years, we've seen a number of arson attacks against mosques here in the United States that largely goes unreported in the national media. We've had arson attacks in Tennessee, Florida, Texas. We had a plot to bomb a mosque in Michigan earlier this year. So I think the Muslim community here in America needs to be vigilant to these types of threats.
Daryl Johnson says it could happen here, primary author of the Department of Homeland Security's report, Right-Wing Extremism. Thanks so much, Daryl.
You're welcome.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.